Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 4 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, The Mythos Mysteries, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pot, get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back to Curse, Code, and Crown, a live play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition podcast featuring a fully original world and campaign. I am the wizard Cronox, Observer of Time. Curse, Code, and Crown features our regular voiceover artists and improvisers. Laura Elizabeth is the Orc Countant Eta and Princess Gwendolyn. Tyler Hewitt as Maka Deathcap and Ryan LaPlante as Duncan Kindano, alongside our Dungeon Master, the incredible Tom McGee. So get ready for an adventure including thrills, chills, and hope for a brighter tomorrow. It's time for Curse, Code, and Crown!
Having left the sunken archive, you return to the surface. The good news is that you made some good pals with the Tritons, and as a result, as a favor to you, Adriel has agreed that the Mantarans will allow the people of Bleen to access the archive now. So you have met the conditions set out by Phaedron Conesnout, concerned citizen and lover of rules, as well as obtaining the necessary receipts to prove that President Che Umos did in fact seek out Maka to venture with her to Orville. So that's all good.
It was no problem.
Yeah.
At no cost.
The bad news, of course, was discovering the corruption of Jossi and the perversion of Glomra into the building block material in Dara, and the gradual poisoning of the entire planet, and bringing down the curse of the mad god upon you. I assume, given the way our last episode wrapped up, that there were enough open questions, big questions, weighty questions, that you likely would have moved on to the next task rather than having an extended conversation in the archive.
Yeah.
Maka, you seem to be leaning that way, I think, where it was just sort of a, this is too much for one turtle to bear. I'm going to need to chew on this.
He found his resolve in that moment, knowing that his, you know, Jossi needs him and he needs to survive this trial. So,
yep.
Next stop.
For Gwendolyn and Duncan, was there anything else you would have asked, do you think? This, of course, is not your only chance to talk to Mark.
I mean, yeah, Duncan, no. I think he got enough answers there. He's got a question he wants to look into, but otherwise the big goal is just to get the turtle through the trial. Like, they just need this to be fixed, and then big problems can come after. They're also looking at some sort of alien species took over Orville, maybe the world that brought humanity here. He's got so many existential crises at this point. He's like, what's today's thing? And today's thing is Darna Heavecrop.
How very 2021.
Yeah.
What's today's thing? Oh, dishes? Amazing. Can't solve my existential crisis, but I can maybe. Oh, the dishes need to soak. You know what? Fuck it. We're done. Everybody pack up and go home.
Today task. Tonight, existential crisis conversation. Tomorrow, task. That's all he's got. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. So, with that in mind, then, using Maka's spells and taking an extraordinarily laborious climb for Gwendolyn, the three of you make your way back to the surface and deliver your report to Phaedron, who is thrilled, just overjoyed that he has access to his archive once again. And though he assures you that this will not sway the judicial process, it will sway the judicial process.
I was going to say, if he says, I assure you it will not impact my choices, like, Maka cannot read that. And will, like,
no, I will go back down there. I will flood the archive.
Yeah. Like, Maka needs to hear it.
Yeah. I feel like there's, you know, a little bit of Duncan maneuvering there. We'll get to there.
Yeah, it looked like it happened last time where they said it wouldn't, you said it wouldn't, they had to say out loud that it would, which was weird, but we promised not to tell, and then we left.
Yeah. So your last task as the day wears on, the final evening before the trial, is Darna Heavecrop. She has been described as owing a favor she cannot repay, but that Duncan Kindano, of all people, may be able to. You find Darna in a shadier part of sort of the capital city. As with any large city, there are kind of good areas and bad areas. And this area is indeed not great. As if you think about the way big shipping civilizations and societies have kind of operated over the years, this is the area where a lot of the sort of contraband and black market goods that are being shipped by the consortium of Bleen end up. whether it's part of the payout, whether it is some stuff that fell off the back of a truck. You can think of it very, very much as kind of like almost that kind of opium den vibe, or just like very, you know, bustling, tightly packed. A lot of kind of the merchant class are here to indulge their vices. And you can smell kind of a variety of intoxicants on the air as you make your way into this area. There are, of course, more bodies along the way. You now recognize, having dealt with the cult, that under a lot of the piles of leaves and debris are bodies that have been kind of just left wherever they fell. Particularly in a bad part of town, you can tell there's not a lot of people picking up bodies around here. And also seemingly this place was untouched by the cult, probably for a very good reason. So, Duncan, you recognize this sort of area, you know, in the same way you would in Orville. Like, every town's got one. So it's no surprise. It is strange to see, having only really dealt with like the merchant class and the warrior class, seeing just like the weird shady like turtle rogues is an odd change of pace, but
ninja turtles, as it were.
Yes an indie. And you can hear music on the air coming from a variety of bars and clubs that are open. You make your way to one that is a sort of like a one story, but very wide and very deep sort of establishment of some sort, covered in curtains, seemingly from that seem to be made of flags from around the world that have been either stitched together or just hung up. You see fine silks. You see basically luxury goods used as basic adornment in a clear show of wealth. Like, this is very much a flex in sort of the gold toilet way, where it's like, I have so much money, I could get a gold toilet. Everyone's like, that won't improve your experience at all. But like, cool, I guess.
We'll side grade at best.
Yeah, exactly. Above the sort of entranceway to this, you see sort of a metallic cast iron sun with sort of jagged sort of rays coming off it. It's a half sun over the sign that just says the golden morning. As with a lot of ironically named dive bars, the cheeriness of the name is offset by the like heavy iron, sharp, jagged, pointed spikes of this sun and the building around it. You get the distinct idea that this was not the bar's original name, nor is it this bar's sign. Making your way inside, you're immediately hit by a heavy wave of sort of sickly sweet smoke on the air. Duncan, you recognize this shit as a heavy duty opiate. You can see there are games of chance set up throughout, and people are dicing and you know, working on a variety of pipes and hookahs. You see a variety of card games. It seems to be a gambling den. Introducing yourselves and kind of your purpose here to the attendant who greets you, they kind of nod and bring you back towards the back of the area. Duncan, is there anything you'd want to be looking for as you're kind of ushered through this space?
I think Duncan would just want to get an idea of the clientele and the stakes, because he doesn't know if Darna is the owner or just somebody who's like, you know, high stakes gambler. And it's like, does this seem like the kind of place where they'd break a leg or where they'd kill a person? Or like, are people betting houses or are people betting, you know, beer money?
It does seem to be higher stakes. That said, there's an ease and charm. Think like a very popular saloon kind of vibe. Okay. Where the stakes are high, but the people who are here seem pretty into it and pretty relaxed. That could also be the opiates, though. Yes.
But it's not seem like a lot of people ready to pull a gun if somebody cheats kind of thing. This is more casual.
There's, I think weirdly, you would almost, it's almost an honor amongst thieves kind of situation where just like, you know, everyone's packing, but the general vibe seems like this is where the rough people come to unwind. This isn't a civilian bar. There's a few people who are clearly out of place who have obviously kind of bet above their, are batting above their average. It's,
it's kind of like they talk about it in like the Dresden Files or something where it's like neutral ground where they're just like criminals can come here, but nobody fucks the place up.
Exactly. I was thinking of Marvel, there's like a supervillain bar in downtown New York.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just like the supervillain bar. The supervillains go there and bitch about, you know, Spider-Man. And it's neutral ground. They all know what's up. They might have grudges and enmity, but they're just here to have a, you know, have a toke and a relax. So you're brought to sort of a table near the back where Darna Heathcrop has clearly installed herself. Duncan, from at first glance, you get the sense that she's not the owner. There's not that kind of Jabba the Hutt or like Maz Kanata, like this is my place kind of vibe. But she's very clearly a beloved fixture of the bar. Like you get the sense that, you know, it's a corner booth. She is very, very large. So she's kind of installed herself on the actual booth part. Everyone else is kind of on chairs. And you get the sense that she probably just like kind of shuffles in behind this table, plants herself. And this is just kind of where she hangs out for the day. She is wearing... an incredibly fine sort of elven weave of very fine sort of silk and metals that looks like it could stop a blade, but is also super soft. It is stretched wide over her sort of massive bulk, but is unlike anything else you've seen on anyone here. She clearly has a style all her own. She's also wearing just a massive, like, think almost like a city, like a round footstool sized hat, just an overstuffed hat that adds like 4 feet of height to her, that kind of looks like she's wearing a pillow on her head, and it has a golden sort of eye on a chain sort of woven through it. Gives her a vaguely mystical vibe, but you're not really sure what that relates to. Giant like rings on every finger. She's got very elaborate piercings, all of which involve sort of rare stones, just generally seems to be flaunting wealth as best she can. As you arrive, she's actually fighting to get one of the rings off one of her fingers, just kind of laughing to one of the people at the table, saying,
I did not expect the red circle. Ha! Your hand was indeed excellent. Your reward.
And she smacks it down on the table and just says, "Again!" And, a somewhat more meek turtle sitting at the table begins to reshuffle the series of three decks that are set up on the table to deal everyone in for a new game. That said, as the three of you approach, she kind of like hushes all of them and kind of basically gives them that like double hand fuck off gesture of just like scoot, scoot. Almost immediately everyone just like grabs their chips and goes. Looking at the three of you, she just says,
"Well, two of you do not seem like you're from around these parts, and one of you is accused of treason. Yes? What brings you to Darna Heathcrop's table?"
"Honorable Darna Heathcrop, my name is Duncan Kindano, private investigator for the legal team of Maka Deathcap. I am here as we've been making the rounds to ensure that tomorrow's trial will be moving forward unencumbered, shall we say. We wouldn't want to have any of the jurors distracted by other complications in their lives. So we're here to help resolve those, that they can focus on the matter at hand and make sure that they give fair judgment to my client, Maka Deathcap. I've heard you may have a challenge that could be distracting you from bringing justice to this case."
And just a proper Cheshire Cat grin spreads across her turtly features, stretching kind of almost back to her ear holes, revealing gold-coated teeth. She just grins at you and says,
"Ah, yes, this is good news indeed. It is best to have a clear head when dealing in justice, is it not?"
"Correct."
"Well, this is excellent news. I do find myself burdened in the trial proceedings with a great debt that I am unable to pay. I believe that your co-counsel may have informed you that I am in need of your assistance. Am I to assume, based on your look, that you are a duelist?"
"That would be correct."
"Excellent. I have need of your specific skills. I owe someone a favor that I myself am unable to pay back. Sadly, he does not desire good drugs or good gambling, and thus I find myself somewhat unable to pay him back for a great boon he did me with a certain former partner who saw fit to grab more than perhaps they had earned. You, however, seem more than capable of paying him off. Tell me, beyond being a private investigator, how do you fare in duels?"
"That's a lifelong specialty. It's a dawnbreaker and a personal hobby. Let's just say my job is dueling, my hobby is dueling, and what I do in my downtime is dueling."
Hey friends, it's Ryan. That's right, real Ryan, not just the character I play in this show. And I'm here to invite you to help us make even more shows. Currently, we make more shows than I want to talk about. There are actually 8 different series that we have on an ongoing basis. Soon it's going to be 9, spoiler alert, but we need your assistance to be able to make that happen. You can join our Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get behind the scenes info, you can be a part of our Discord, you can add your own NPC, you can even produce a show if you want to dive all the way in there. So whatever you want to have happen, we can make happen at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. Please come join your fellow snarfs. It's a snarfolution.
"What of your knight companion?"
"Well, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, his dueling protected me for like most of my life. So
yes, but how do you do in martial combat?"
"I mean, I do all right. I've got kind of like a magical sword here that like will fly around."
"A knight and a jester. A rare combination."
"No, I'm serious." And I like take out the sword and it like hovers.
"Okay, I need to lighten up on the pipe a little bit, I suspect. The secondhand smoke in here is rather rough on the old olfactory senses. I almost thought I saw that sword float."
"Oh, it did. And I just do it again."
"Okay, this is a different situation than I was expecting. Maka, unfortunately, you will not be able to assist in this particular endeavor."
"Wait, why not?"
"So the one thing we haven't talked about is exactly what the job is."
"Yes, yes. Tell me, are you familiar with the Order of Champions?"
"No."
"Yes. I take it you are human. Is that correct?"
"That is correct."
"Ah, yes. Then you would not be from your little floating pen up there in the sky. Down here amongst the civilized..."
Yeah. Gwendolyn just pouted. I mean, not that she can move anything, but it was like, she pouted inside.
I like that. It's literally, you just hear like the jaw hinge move a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
She says,
"The down here amongst the civilized nations, there is a secretive order of people like yourself, champions of martial combat, willing to fight the strongest, the best, the most capable in order to prove themselves. I unfortunately owe much to one such man. In order to clear my debt, I require a champion who could give a challenge to the Eternal Hunter, Eisenhorn L. Ravan." whoever challenges Ravan, whoever gives him the battle he seeks, will be enough for me to clear my debts. And as you can see, she kind of gestures to herself, says, I am far too delicate a flower to engage in such dirty matters.
So are these conflicts to the death, or are these sporting matters?
It depends on the champion. Many fight to yield, some fight to the death. In the case of the Eternal Hunter, well, you've heard his name. You fucking take a guess.
All right. Well, so he hunts forever, so he never kills anything. So he lets them go so he can hunt them again. That's what I'm assuming.
Sure, let's go with that.
So what kind of armament does this hunter wear? How does he fight?
Unfortunately, these matters I cannot tell you. This would ruin the sport. He will know nothing of you. You will know nothing of him until the two of you meet in the arena.
All right, how do we organize this little confrontation?
Her grin grows wider, and she just literally, like, and it's a pretty massive table. Like, this is a big fucking round table. She just, like, lifts it up like it's nothing and just, like, scoots it out in front of her. And then she gets to her feet, and she's like 8 feet tall, and again, just super, super broad, and kind of nodding. She just slaps like a massive hand on your shoulder and she says, "Follow me. El Ravan will be so very excited that I've found such a worthy opponent." And then she looks to you, Gwendolyn, and says, "I assume you desire the combat duelist, or are you going to send Floaty Sword McArmerson over here?"
"Well, I mean, I'm always happy to duel. Princess, would you rather do this?"
"I mean, you're a much better fighter than I am, no?"
"Different skill sets, but, you know, I feel like mine might be more flexible. Why don't I field this one?"
"That sounds good. And if things go sideways, I can just throw a sword in there."
Not how the duel works, but
I was gonna say, we would never cheat. That's not gonna happen. That's not gonna happen. And then he just makes sure to wink at her with the eye that the turtle can't see.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. So Darna leads you out the back, sort of flaps of fine silks and flags, and kind of leads you through what is clearly kind of the brothel end of this this inn. To a large, well-appointed room, a big circular room that's clearly hers. And this thing is stuffed to the gills with, like, cool, arcane-looking shit. Like, this is, if you've seen, I mean, I'm mostly thinking of this from video games I've recently played, but kind of like the Great Khan's yurts, where it's just like full of cool stuff that he just brought with him everywhere he went to be like, "Look at all this cool stuff I got. Also conquering your land. Keep your religion, but bow to me. Anyway, look at all my cool stuff." So it's kind of that. You can tell that this is, these are her quarters here at the Golden Morning. She moves in. She just kind of over her shoulder says, "I apologize about the mess. I was not expecting to have guests today. At least not this early. Ha!" And just with thunderous footsteps, she makes her way over to a large standing mirror that has kind of a series of sort of slatted black pieces of metal around it, threaded through with red. And she begins to touch those slatted black pieces in an odd, almost musical way. And as she does so, the surface of the mirror begins to shimmer and become sort of almost liquid. And soon enough, you see sort of a tall, very handsome figure kind of emerge from the mist on the other end of the mirror. He stands beyond the mirror, still on that side. He's got Duncan. I gotta tell you, you kind of like his style. He's got sort of the large hat, feather running back through it, elven features. So kind of sharp nose, pointed ears, little thin beard, little thin mustache. Clearly wearing duelist garb. You can think of kind of any of the Witcher video game base armors, where it's just kind of, you know, it's got a lot of leather and straps, sort of pauldrons as well, but is clearly meant for combat. And this stuff looks ancient. And again, Duncan, to your eye, even at this distance, you can tell that it's very old, but incredibly well cared for. And he kind of swoops the cape back over one arm. He's wearing like one of those half capes that was more familiar in kind of the Renaissance. So kind of like cuts across the chest and then up and over your shoulder. He just says, "Donaheve Crop, finally I hear from you. Are you here to repay your debt to me at last?" And she just claps her hands together and rubs them with kind of glee. And she says, "Great Eternal Hunter, Eisenhorn, I have found for you a wonderful new match, a human, no less, from the floating city of Orvel, one to whom you never would have had access before, but may have access now. A Dawnbreaker, no less." And Eisenhorn's features spread into a very predatory grin. Can y'all roll me a perception check, please?
That's pretty good.
16 for me.
24 for Maka.
Nice. Damn.
18 for Duncan.
You can all see quite clearly as he grins, the sort of fanged incisors, in his jaw. He nods, and kind of looks up and over, her shoulder and just kind of like, gives Duncan you a little like tap of the hat.
Duncan will reciprocate. He's that kind of guy.
Yep. And as he begins to reach forward towards the edges of the mirror, you actually see Darna tap the metal once, and the image becomes a little more sheer, a little more reflective, and you see him kind of press his hands against it. And she says, "Eisenhorn, I need to hear it." And he pouts. Gwendolyn, it's a very you thing. And he just like immediately kind of falls back on his heel and kind of taps his toe in frustration. And he says, "Darnaheve Crop of Bleen, by bringing me this duel, I hereby absolve you of your debt. You may once again call on my services should you need any more family members or business partners dispatched. Yes, now can I please have my fun?" She nods and taps the sides of the mirror again. The surface becomes liquid, and Eisenhorn El Ravan steps through and into the room. You all feel a chill breeze kind of hit you as he steps out of the mirror. You can smell the sort of stale air of a crypt coming through along with the mists that kind of coil off of him.
Great.
He squints a little bit as he steps into the light and kind of pulls the hat a little bit lower over his brow. He gives you a tip of the hat. Gwendolyn, he gives you a tip of the hat. Duncan, he kind of walks over to you and kind of looks you up and down, and his eyes land on your coppers. He runs a reddish tongue over his lips, almost in anticipation, and just says, "A Dawnbreaker and a duelist, truly a rare find indeed. I am the Eternal Hunter, Eisenhorn El Ravan. Whom do I have the pleasure of dueling today?"
"I am Duncan Kindano, first captain of the Dawnbreakers. Today you battle justice, friend."
"Kindano, interesting choice. But I assume you will show perhaps more honor in the ring than he did in his day."
Wait, who?
I'm sorry, duelists are talking. Please. And he turns to Darna and he says, keep the mercenaries, the hired help quiet, would you? And Darna just kind of like shoulders you, Gwendolyn, and you actually stagger a full step over. Like it's not a light hit. And she just mutters, floating sword or no, you're really going to want to let them play this out. So Eisenhorn again sizes you up and says, yes, to face justice will indeed be an interesting battle. You are aware of the Order of Champions?
I've been made aware for about 4 minutes, so I'm pretty much ready to join.
Excellent. Well, fell me and you will have earned yourself a position, but none have. And he kind of pulls the cape back and dangling from the inside of the cape on sort of fine silken threads are teeth. And it is lined with these sort of jangling teeth. And he just says, many have tried to earn my position here. Many have failed, but they've all been fun.
Do you have a hard number on how many that is, if you don't mind me asking?
He smiles, again, revealing his teeth, and just says, 1,328.
Wonderful. Then let me get this out of the way. I charge you with 1,328 counts of murder. You've been found guilty, and the sentence is death. I'm ready to dance, friend. Justice is here.
He smiles and says, when you've lived as many centuries as I have, friend, you realize that justice died long before I began my game. And with that, he draws a sword seemingly out of the air that is a glimmering purple blade that seems too thin to be of much use, but the air of cold coming off it and the look of it, like,
I was going to say, I'm a rapier guy. Finn is bad.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know what's up. And with a flourish of his cape and the clinking of fallen foe's teeth, he drops into a fighting stance and grins at you.
Wonderful. Just a quick question, as I'm so new to this new Echo of Champions I'm going to be joining. Are there any rules, just in general, in terms of weaponry?
He shrugs and just says, whatever you have on you when the contest begins is what you may use. If you're referring to the pistol, it's fair game. And he just like raises the sword and with the hilt just taps his teeth. He says, as are my particular abilities.
Great. I just wanted to check. I didn't know if you had some sort of weird magic spell where you could summon like 10 panthers. I hand out with a weird crowd, so I just want to make sure this is a straight hand-to-hand thing.
In a manner of speaking, yes. There are no summonings, at least from me. I am a duelist.
All right, let's do this. And I think he'll just kind of settle down and be like, I know you said that justice has been dead for a really long time, but here's the interesting thing. So am I. And if you're undead, well, that means we're natural opponents. Let's do this.
And
he'll draw his rapier with a flourish himself because he's got a cool fucking bone sword with a skull on it. Like, fuck this vampire guy. Yep.
So with naked steel drawn on both sides, Ravon stares at you. You stare at him. And as everyone else in the room stands in rapt silence, waiting, the two of you tense, and then before anyone can blink, the duel begins.
This episode of Curse Code and Crowd Sound was mixed and edited by Laura Hamstrup, and the campaign was created by Tom McGee. Our original theme music was composed by Landon Noblock, and Curse Code and Crowd's logo was created by the brilliant Decapitated Markers. If you want to follow our players or our DM on Twitter, you can reach out to Laura at EL Hamstring, Ryan at the Ryan LaPlante, Tyler at Tyler_Hewitt, Tom McGee at McGeeTD, or you can message our whole company at DumDumDice. So please, join us again for more Curse, Code, and Crown!
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, the Half-Blind Prophet, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord Abradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire Unfriendly, Acrix, Cameron Ezel, Grandma Likes D&D, Austin Nut Powers Fry, Stabby Stranger, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.